baptized here this evening. So as soon as the service ends, we will have a baptismal service. Verse number one. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrahites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. They said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes. Now, look where her mind is. That the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She's wrong. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, ask your blessing upon the service tonight. Lord, help me to stay true to your word. Lord, may your spirit work, and I pray and beg you for your help. Lord, that this would strengthen us, that it would help us, draw us closer to you. Lord, that you would work. I do pray if anyone is here that's never been converted, I do pray for their salvation. Lord, please help me to recall and Lord, bless this today, Lord. I certainly need your help. Lord, I love you, I pray, and I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. There are times that things come when life simply does not go as planned. There are times when circumstances arise that you never saw coming. Perhaps it's a wayward child. You can remember when they were younger, how sweet and the innocent times, fun times, the toddler times growing up, such high hopes. Picturing their future and picturing their life going well. We don't picture tragedy. We don't imagine the difficulties. Maybe imagine going on to be faithful to the Lord, getting married, having kids. But maybe something didn't go as planned. There's so much in this life that can come up. Maybe alcohol grabbed. I'll be doing the funeral of a lady tomorrow. Choked on her own vomit from being drunk. There's little that I've seen destroy more families than alcohol. Infuriates me, the Christians that still try and justify it. Maybe it was the stronger drugs of our day, meth. I mean, the stuff that is out there nowadays, wow. Just destroying lives. You can think of, I would assume when Joshua gave his testimony, it's probably alcohol involved in those lies, if not drugs. But you didn't see things coming. We have, of course, many just in this room with different stories of events that have taken place that you did not see coming. When life did not go as planned. For some, it's been the loss of a child or children. Devastating sickness. Those going through that level of grief when life did not go as planned. Losing a spouse. You know, you boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I think it's very important in how you handle those days when life does not go as planned. It can be a very dangerous time for us spiritually. Okay? Let's think of this in relation to our text. I'm going to focus on Naomi. Naomi has her life time and time again go a direction she never saw coming. Naomi is a life that so many of us can relate to. Let's think of her beginning back in Bethlehem. That small little town in Israel. Everybody knows everybody. One language, which that is so unifying. I don't think we quite understand that in the United States. It's just how unifying that is. The one language that's there. Knowing the true God. All that is in common. The family. Her mother is there. Her sisters. Her cousins. All that's there. It's the life she knows. The day comes to marry Elimelech, which means God is my king. Her husband's going to forget that. I mean, they get married. No doubt they have those same dreams that we all have. The children, raising a family, serving God. But life doesn't go as planned. Shortly after they are married, probably obviously looking at all who's involved with the young children, within a few years, famine hits. Such a difficult time. In America, I don't think we don't have the ability, some in here do that grew up on farms. I don't think we have the ability to really grasp what takes place when famine hits. We just sort of see some shortages in a grocery store right now. There is no grocery store in this day. I mean, think in this time, if you cannot farm, There's no food. The place that is referred to in Bethlehem as the house of bread now has very little. Life now just got much harder, much more difficult to enjoy. Survival mode is now kicked in. What are we going to do? Her husband makes a decision, different from many in his town, without any reference to seeking God, without any reference to prayer whatsoever, he decides to leave. He's going to go to Moab. He gets his wife, their two children, their two boys, and he heads to Moab. Naomi, I just want to look at Naomi's point of view today. Naomi finds herself, she does have her husband, her sons, living in a very strange place, a pagan place. She can't FaceTime with her mother. There's not 3-day mail service. She is cut off from her family. She is living in a country that, based on who she is, on her, based on ethnicity, her nationality, they can't stand her. This is now where she's living. Living as a stranger in her own home. A place she doesn't know. I assure you, when she got married, she didn't see herself living in a foreign place, in another world. Just imagine just that alone, how difficult that situation is. She can't call her mom to get encouraged. This is not how she saw her life going. But at least she has her husband and her boys. That's getting ready to change. Life takes another direction. Elimelech dies. The husband is gone. Naomi is there in this foreign world. Without her husband, you could just imagine the grief that is hitting. No one to console her. Again, she can't get hold of her mother, her friends, her sisters. She has to console her two boys. Has to be strong for them. This is not the life she imagined. By the way, we get, if allow me to use that term, we're never going to get the life we have imagined until we get to heaven. Not until then. Not until that environment. So don't expect it. It's then. Her sons end up getting married. This would produce mixed emotions because they married women from Moab. That would be difficult. And mixed, still seeing some joy in her sons. 10 years passes, and there's no children, no grandchildren. For whatever reason, God has shut both of their wombs, or whatever the case might be, there is no children. That too, I assure you, is not life as planned. Then tragedy once again strikes as now both of her sons die. She is left alone in a foreign land. Her husband is gone. Her two boys are gone. This is not how she saw her life going. She comes to the conclusion that God is against her. She is so wrong. She'll realize that by the time we get to chapter 4. She believes God is against her. She is so very wrong. However, what God is getting ready to do, He's going to turn that bitterness into beauty. Of course, going to use her daughter-in-law, Ruth, to do just that. So what I want to do is I'm going to draw from chapter 1 some so very important truths that I want you to listen to. Three things to do or to remember when life does not go as planned. It's such an important time in those moments. You've got to have a foundation in place of what to do. Let me give you the three things and then I'll dive into them. Number one is don't forget God's power. Don't forget God. Number two, God's goodness. Yes, in those times, you have to be so careful of a wrong view of God. And number three, don't forget God's sovereignty. His power, His goodness, and His sovereignty. It's during those times, it's so important to remember those items. And that's what we even see in the text here in the first chapter of Ruth. Number one, don't forget God's power. Really what I mean by that, I could just put that as, don't forget God. Don't forget about the all-powerful one. I mean, here you have Naomi and Elimelech getting married. Famine hits. Elimelech's name means my God is king. Naomi's name means pleasant and lovely. She's going to change that. And really, within the own nation she lived in was not necessarily easy times. It would have been a little bit easier in Bethlehem than other places in Israel. But this is during the time of the judges. Let's not forget what a mess the nation of Israel was during the time of the judges. The cycle that kept on repeating. The statement giving, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So absolutes from the Creator were not in control, just like our day. The famine hits. This is the first circumstance in her life that they did not plan for. This would be frightening. And it would be. I mean, we haven't experienced this, but you're in a place like this and all of a sudden you can see there's not going to be enough food. Do you understand? There's not going to be enough. You want to feed your wife, you want to feed your children, but you can see it. There's not going to be enough. We're going to run out. What we have stored is going to end. But what we don't see is Elimelech. I have no doubt he desired to take care of his family. It's not an easy decision to pick up and go to Moab. It's not. But what we don't see the man doing, he took it in his own hands. He should have got on his knees and began seeking God. Asking God for help, asking for God's provision, asking God for wisdom. He forgot about the power of the Creator. He forgot God is his king. So often we have the knowledge of God in name, but that's all it is. We have a danger in those moments when things don't go as planned, forgetting God. I've been there. When starting off on debutation, Daniel ripped his cut his thumb right off, and the motorhome ripped open. The very first, not even a week into debutation, I had moments of forgetting God. But I had the ability to get on the phone and call Pastor Roach and listen to him laugh for a second. But then he gave a statement that was of the Lord. Sounds like the Lord's getting you ready for New Guinea. And then I could see God in it. Don't forget God. Don't. Doesn't matter what it is, you don't forget God. We can try and take things into our own hands in those moments. Fear can take over. Uncertainty can take over. That can creep in. It's here that our faith has to be real. Our faith has to be genuine. The measure of faith that we all have has to come into place. Whereas Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What he needed to remember was this. It wasn't going to his plan. But what is happening is not a surprise to God. It's not. God knew before Elimelech was born, the famine would come. He knew. This is why we go to Him. We live in a sin cursed earth. Things are going to take place. We don't forget about God. We don't take it in our hands. We don't forget about God. You begin to do that, you end up in Moab. You end up in Egypt. You end up far from God. And by the way, had he sought God, and God said, head to Moab, that puts it in a much different light. You see, because it's then that his wife would have the ability to simply stay on focus with God. But you've heard me tell it before going to New Guinea, because I went there. I don't have the normal missionary story. I did not want to go back. Couldn't stand the place. That's just the truth. I didn't. I could not imagine raising my family there. And begging God, please, please, I have to know that I know that I know that I know that this is what you want. It wasn't because I was rebellious. It wasn't because I didn't want to follow the Lord. It was because I knew, and little did I know, how actually difficult it was going to be. But the Lord did. I just wanted to know that I knew it was going to have such difficult days that I did not want the mind game going on. Did you mess up? Did you just mess up? Should you not be here? Did you leave the will of God? I didn't want that. I wanted to know when everything just was falling apart, I wanted to know, listen, I know it's falling apart, but I know I'm where God wants me. When things in life don't go as planned, when things come that you don't expect, you go to God, not from Him. Number two, God's goodness. The devil's a master at these times of getting you to cast the blame onto God Himself. And we can see that in the life of Naomi here. Tragedy upon tragedy strike. You can have the compassion for what is taking place. I mean, they head to Moab. Elimelech dies. Her boys marry. No kids. They die. I mean, grief upon grief. This is not how she thought life would go. Of course, as we read, we get a piece of what she was thinking. I'm going to turn, I heard there's bread back in Israel, bread back in Bethlehem. I'm going to return and go home. I mean, I can just see Naomi looking back on her life. And trying in a sense, apart from faith, to make sense of all that's happened. And because it's apart from faith, it's going to come to some wrong conclusions. This isn't how she thought life would go. But it is how God already knew her life would go. Do you think God doesn't care? Oh, He does. Because He is good. So she concludes with all that has happened to her. She came to the wrong conclusion that multitudes of people do. That God was against her. She states it in verse 13. So dangerous and so wrong. She now has in place a wrong view of God. What I love about the Lord, though, just like with the prodigal son, there's so much here. It's not like God forgets where she's at in life. God's going to produce circumstances, again, and this is going to get to the last point, the sovereignty of God, to allow her to see that was never true. That was never, never, never true. But the anguish she had between that time and then, she did not have to go through. She didn't. And throughout all of it, with God's goodness, His grace, and His love, He certainly cared. The tragedies have led to hurt. When we get to this point of thinking God is against us or doesn't care, you come to such another wrong conclusion of hopelessness. Just like she told her daughter-in-law, there's no hope. There's nothing that can be done. She's wrong. She's wrong. The truth is, if you think God is against you, you have removed hope. With God, listen to me, it doesn't matter what is going on in this sin-cursed, horrible earth. Doesn't matter. Listen to me. It doesn't matter. With God, there is always hope. He's always the direction to go. Ask David when he's surrounded on the cliffside by enemies, with them approaching and closing in vastly. There is no escape. It looks as if death is certain. God was in control. I love John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is one event. The blind man. The blind man. All that takes place, that how John elaborates with that miracle as the disciples are talking and who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Christ is like, what? What is wrong with you? Are one of you going to ask me to heal the guy? Let's have a theological discussion about the blind guy. And Christ reproves them, neither is this man's sin nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest. Could you just imagine that blind guy, born blind, never saw a day in his life. Grown man. And gets his sight. What he knew is he was crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ. With God, there is hope. He could have said by the time he was 15, this is done, this is it. By the time he was 70, by the time he was 20, by the time he was 25, by the time he was 30. There's just no hope. With God, there is always hope. Daniel, thrown into a den of lions. And he knew that was coming. And he opened his windows, as it says in Daniel chapter 6. And prayed it, and when the law went into effect, he prayed as he did aforetime. I'm not changing. He could have hid behind the couch and prayed and said, I still prayed. But he knew everybody would think he compromised. He said, I can't do that. I'm praying to God as I always done. Knowing I will be thrown in a den of lions. And if the Lord allowed it to be taken, so be it. You know why? Because the perfect home was coming. It was there. This is the guy who was taken captive as a teenager. This is the guy forced into pagan schools. This is also a man who trusted God all along. All along, trusting God. And God used him to have the influence at this day and age and the three top prime ministers of the world in this day and age. Of his day and age. Don't allow a wrong view of God to come in. Just like Naomi's going to say, bitterness will come in. You run the risk of bitterness. You don't want to live there. The answer is to go to God. You don't want bitterness to take over your life. That's not how you want to live. You don't want to see things in life through the eyes of bitterness. It's in those times that you trust the Lord. He knows. Even when the pain, hurt because of sin, because of horrible circumstances, you simply go to the one who has the comfort. The devil would love to distort your understanding of God and paint him as against you. He knows he won then. He's accomplished a goal. To get you to think God is against you or God just forgot about you or God doesn't care, none of that is true. It's a difficult world with difficult circumstances. Don't blame God for something he hasn't promised you. When life hits hard, the answer is God. He is not the one to blame. He's the one to want run to. We face trials in life. Sin has made a mess of things in this world. Death comes, trials come, sickness comes. That's not going to be over till a new heaven and new earth. Do you understand that? That's when that is promised. And by the way, when that comes, isn't it good to know the former shall not be remembered? You can look to that. Wouldn't it be great if the rapture happened right now? Man. Sorry for all the teenagers who want to get married. I remember I've been there. Like, no, no. A few years. Just a few years. Let it happen. I'd even pray, Lord, please don't. Not yet. Sorry, teeners, now I'm praying. Now, let it happen now. Don't ever get to the point in life because of this sin-cursed earth where you believe God is against you. He's not. There's not another person in the universe who loves you more. Lastly, God's sovereignty. Know this. I've preached on it in multiple different types of messages in drawing this principle out of the Word of God, how God is a master at taking evil and using it for something good. He never promises, I'm just going to have to stop all the evil. He doesn't. That day will come, new heaven and new earth. Not until then. Not until then. But what he does do is says, even in those times, though, I can still use it for something good. And he does here. He does in the book of Ruth. He's going to use her daughter-in-law, Ruth, in such an amazing way. And remember this. I'm sure many of us know the story. Time's going on. I really don't have time for this last point. But I do need to bring some points of it. Listen to me. How do I want to say this? God is working even when you can't see it. He is. He's that powerful. He's that great. He's that sovereign. Within the text, Ruth makes the decision to stay. Naomi pleads with her daughter-in-law, return back. You can't get another husband. I can't have another child. Raise one to marry you. You couldn't wait for that anyhow. I'm too old anyhow. She has all the reasons why it can never happen. The hopelessness is set and God is against me. It's just not going to happen. Just go back. And Ruth says, I'm not going back. She gives the key to the whole book in verse 16. Your God shall be my God. And I do believe that completely about Ruth. This was about God for her. She understood the paganism in of her land. She made that decision for the Creator. And God is going to honor that woman's choice. She's not allowing bitterness. Yes, I'm just going to go back and forget about the God you've always talked about. I'm just going to go. I just see your life. It's just been this and this and this. I want nothing to do with it. No, she saw the truth of it. And know what God's going to do? He's going to honor that. She's going to be in the lineage. So much he's going to honor of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You honor God even when it's difficult. You honor God. Naomi doesn't realize that God is working. She can't see it. But he is. Naomi doesn't even realize that she is going to use Ruth to turn her ashes into beauty. It's going to be Ruth is going to be the one that allows her once again to come to the conclusion, as we went through this book, that God has been working all along. Wait, whose field were you working in? Wait, what? Oh, man. And he just happens to ride by and catches Ruth. I mean, Boaz. Boaz is still hoping that takes place. Where's Boaz at? We are too, Boaz. But you can just see that kind of him catching her eye. She's like, oh. Do you understand the Lord was in every detail of that? The field she ended up. The timing of him coming in on that horse. He was in all of it. Every single part of it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The direction that would have helped Naomi more in chapter 1 was faith. I'm not saying I could have been any different than her. I'm not. But the truth was, God wasn't against her. He was working. I mean, we can look back and at no doubt different times in our life, and many here could come up and give testimony of when you didn't even understand or see God was working. You didn't have a clue until afterwards. Just like that day in the Air Force when I got the remote assignment to Kunsan Air Force Base. I did not see God in it at all. Did everything I could to get rid of it. Please just stop paying me. Let me out of the Air Force. Just whatever I could. Apply for Pallas Chase. Apply for this, that. I mean, everything I could. Just let me out. Never did I pause until I'm in Korea about 3 weeks. So almost a full year into this of misery that I did not have to have. Instead of trusting God, God is in control. This didn't surprise God. I could have been a better testimony than where I was at work. Everybody knew. I wanted out. But you know what God knew? I'd be in New Guinea soon. I need experience with a missionary for a full year. I had no clue in 5-6 years, I'm going to be in New Guinea. I never saw the mission field for my life. Know what else the Lord knew? If that doesn't happen, I'm not in Alaska. He knew one day you're going to be the pastor of the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage. Trust me. But a remote without my family for a year? Little did I know, God was working. So to finish up here this evening, it is so important how we respond when life doesn't go as planned. Those days happen. It's a reality in a sin-cursed earth. We get the glory, that'll be done away with. That's not true right now. We respond in faith, knowing God is good and He's in control, and we trust Him. We trust Him. That's what we do. We stay faithful. With heads bowed and eyes closed.